Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 223 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of October 12th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and with me as always is Rat with Wings, Dan Ryan.
So offensive. So uncalled for.
Not when it comes out of Danny DeVito's mouth.
Oh, that's true.
With October still upon us, and with Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween also still upon us, as promised, Dan and I will be talking about bats.
Full disclosure, I was really busy today, so all of my research was done by my lovely wife. And she did an amazing job writing it, and I think I'm just going to kind of read what she wrote.
That's fair. But anyway, before we go any further, here is your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show.
What should we think about what we're doing, Chris?
Do
we
tell me what I should think? It's amazing how many people on Twitter want to tell me to do that.
Yeah.
What topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. So, hi, Dan. How the heck are you?
Oh, after last night's 16-1 drubbing that the Yankees suffered, I'm not great, Chris. And the game is on right now, and I don't know what the score is, and that makes me nervous.
I mean, can't you have the game on where you can see it?
Well, I mean, I can, but then I have to, like, you know, not pay attention to our show.
How is that different from you?
Hey!
I'm kidding. That's me.
Hey, I know, right? You're the one watching YouTube videos the whole time.
No, that's not what I do. That's what I do during TWEP.
Because nobody... Anyway, so I'm good, Chris. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm quite good, actually. I've had a heck of an interesting week in video games.
I mean, you got the best news ever that Guacamelee and Guacamelee 2 are coming to Switch.
Guacamelee came to Switch. They were like,
that's right, the first one.
Guacamelee is on Switch right now.
Right now.
In the next couple of hours. Today. It will be out on Switch for the low, low price of $14.99. And sometime in December, Guacamelee 2 will be hitting us as well. So that is fantabulous news.
That is great.
Which I would have jumped, like, I would have leaped all over it if I weren't still in the middle of Mega Man 11.
Right.
Which is marvelous. I really like it.
That's good. I saw some online reporting, like you had mentioned, where people were like, ooh, it's just more Mega Man. Well, yes.
Yeah.
That is the point. It doesn't need, the mainline Mega Man games do not need a ton of innovation. It's what we like about them.
Yeah, like, keep giving me interesting refinements, you know? Mm-hmm. And this game does that. The double gear system is an interesting refinement. The number of power-ups that you can buy, like upgrades for Mega Man, are also interesting. Kind of ways to make the game easier or harder on yourself as you go. Mm-hmm. Like, I bought this thing that makes my regular shots a little bit, like the lemons, as it were, just a little bit bigger so that it's easier to hit your targets with them. It doesn't make your shots stronger. It just makes their hitboxes bigger.
Right.
There was a...
nothing wrong with that. He's a fucking robot.
Yeah, let's upgrade him.
it's what you do with robots. With robots,
with the robots. Let's see. I only have one robot master left. Acid Man. And
his name is Carl.
His name is Carl. No, Acid Man stage can fuck right off. Just fuck right off a cliff. I have been very happy with the difficulty in this game up until the last stage I did before Acid Man was Bounce Man stage. Mm-hmm. And Bounce Man stage was, I thought it was super fun. It's got all these stupid balloons everywhere, and you're just bouncing all over the place uncontrollably. It's ridiculous, if a little frustrating, but
sure.
There were, the first time they ever did this was in Mega Man 4, and in this one it's even more of a dick move. So, like, I remember in Mega Man 4, I would just walk up to a pit. Yeah, there's a pit, and you go to jump over it, and all of a sudden, robot shoots right out of this, right out of the middle of it. There's no way you would have known it. There's no possible way to know it would be there.
No.
Until you've already made the jump, and it has killed you.
Which is fine. That's annoying.
It's annoying. It's cheap.
But it's
unnecessary.
It's cheap, but it is something you can learn.
Exactly. Now, if those robots start shooting out of the hole before you get there, so that you know that they are things that are consistently going to be shooting out of the hole, well, that's a different story. But the fact that they wait until you get close to jump out and gotcha, that's cheap. I've always hated that, and I always will. Well, in Bounce Man stage, there's that situation, and except they have, like, just giant googly eyes, and they've got two hands holding out, like, saying, stop! Screw
you. They're trying to tell you to stop.
Screw those things. I hate them, and I hate them with every fiber of my being. But Acid Man stage. Oh, boy, Acid Man stage. It's a lot of underwater stuff with spikes, except there's water currents as well. So it's just like, well, here's a bunch of really super difficult jumps, and if you don't get them exactly pin perfect right, you're dead. And these stages are long. These stages are twice as long as any Mega Man stage, with the exception of maybe, you know, stuff from Mega Man 8. But, you know, instead of being all disjointed like Mega Man 8, they're much more cohesive. Now, I love it. I love the fact that the stages are humongous. The trouble is that in something like this, where it's just like the tiniest slip up and it's insta death, they send you back a ways sometimes. Yeah. And it's like, well, crap, I got to do all this over again. And that's, it's kind of a pain in the ass. But outside of that, I mean, I'm talking like minor quibbles here. I'm really, really enjoying the game. It's made me, like, smile and say, wow, that's really cool, more than once.
That's awesome.
And that's just great. Like, you just get to these little bits where you just get through some action sequence and something ridiculous is happening. You're just like, well, that's really cool, and I'm very happy that it's there. So Mega Man 11 is just fantastic, if you're a Mega Man fan. Can't imagine not liking it if you like classic Mega Man.
Yeah, I am very excited to pick that up at some point once I finish Spider-Man and Tomb Raider, which I also started.
Oh, good.
Because why not?
Why? Yeah, you know, why the hell not, right?
Why not? I'm in the middle of Spider-Man. I might as well start Tomb Raider. And it's it's really good. The action set pieces are really cool so far. Like, the story seems really cool and interesting, with a bunch of, like, Mayan and Incan mythology and a lot of really cool stuff. The only complaint I have with the game so far is that it looks like they gave Lara really bad plastic surgery on her face and lips.
Ugh.
Yeah, like, it's weird. Like, her eyebrows, like, her makeup, like, the whole... And I don't know if that's going to change, like, as costumes change, and that's just, like, the nature of this particular costume. I don't know. She just... her face model doesn't look as good as it did in the prior games. So it's not game breaking. It doesn't ruin it or anything. It's just a little like, huh, that's different. Don't care for that. But other than that, it's fucking dope.
That's good to hear.
Spider-Man is still really
good. So I've heard. I have unfortunately not messed with any more of Horizon, I am sorry to say. Just getting down here in the basement and playing it has been a bit of a task. But I have been playing more other stuff. I finished the Famicom version of the original Zelda. That was fun.
Which is awesome.
It's nice to have that tucked under my belt as something that I have accomplished. It's the original NES Legend of Zelda with different sound effects and some longer loading times because it was on a disc. And that's a thing. It's a thing. It was just really neat. I'm glad to have done it. But speaking of Zelda, this past weekend, the official Zelda Hallmark keepsake ornament came out. And I went and picked that up because it's super cool. It's based on original Legend of Zelda Link, like instruction manual Link. So it's really cute, and it's got a little button on it. You press it, and it plays music. So I was thrilled to pick that up. It's a little bigger than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
It's a pretty hefty ornament. When I went to the Hallmark store to pick it up, there was that next to a couple of the other Nintendo one they came out this year was a Mario Kart, which was about the size I would expect a Mario Kart ornament to be. Like,
life size. Just
a little, yes, life size. A little bit smaller than an amiibo.
Yeah.
But no, the Zelda ornament's considerably bigger than that, which is kind of weird. I still think it's going to look awesome. I still think the ornament's great. It's just weird that it was so big. The other ornament that they came out with this year that was Nintendo related was a Donkey Kong arcade cabinet. And I don't remember if I talked about this on the show at all, but when they first showed it off, I was like, okay, well, I'm getting both of those. Right. I don't need the Mario Kart one. I have Mario ornaments already, but an official Zelda ornament. Okay. And the Donkey Kong arcade cabinet, that sounds awesome. And like, they really meticulously recreated the Donkey Kong arcade cabinet. It's really fantastic. The problem is, at least that I saw from the trailer and then confirmed in the store where they had one on display, is you press the button and it makes Donkey Kong noises, which would be super awesome, except it's the NES game noises, not the arcade game noises. So you press a button, you got the wrong version of Donkey Kong coming out of the arcade cabinet. No.
not gonna lie, that's not something I would care about.
It's just something I cared about. I cared about too much.
I
just
looked at it and said,
"This is wrong. This
is
just wrong."
I would be disappointed if you did not care about that. You know what I mean? And I doubt you are alone in your caring about that. But for me, I'd just be like, "Yeah, whatever."
It's cool. One of the commercial for it that they put together, like the little ad, was a dude like meticulously recreating the arcade, like paying attention to every detail and pointing out that they're paying attention to every detail, and then they play the music and I'm like, bad Hallmark.
Yeah, such is life.
But hey, the Zelda one's awesome.
Yeah,
and I'm thrilled about that. So here's a fun thing that's happened to me. Over the last couple of years, I've had handfuls of relatives just kind of give me a bunch of old crap they have in their basement.
Yeah.
And you know, a couple friends too. You know, anybody knows anything. I have extra video games and I don't know what to do with them. I'm going to give them to Chris.
Yeah.
And I will always happily give them a home. So this stuff had been stacking up for a little while and I finally went through it and said, okay, is there any of this stuff that I need? What if it works and, what can I do with it? And so I took it all, packaged it all up and I brought it over to Level Up and it said, I don't need this stuff. Let's trade it in towards getting some stuff. Cause money's super tight right now. And there's a bunch of games coming out that I need, like Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
They wound up giving me a pretty good deal on the stuff that they took. And, I wound up getting a copy of FighterZ for Switch today,
which is awesome.
I played like a few seconds of the training mode, and I was just like, "Oh, I love you!" have to finish Mega Man.
Yeah.
I learned like the very, very basics of it, and it's like it's pretty different from Street Fighter. So
it is. It's much simpler, I feel.
It's kind of reminded me a little bit of like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 in the way the combos strung together, but it was also a lot more launchy, you know,
Like
there was a lot of things you pressed that made the characters like launch and then follow up. And I did like three really cool looking things. And I said, okay, I'm stopping this because my focus is on Mega Man 11. Once I'm done with Mega Man 11, I'll move on to FighterZ and then from there and there and there.
Right.
But I wound up getting enough store credit to cover not just FighterZ and pay off Smash Brothers, but also Katamari. So when that comes out in December, I'm covered. Plus, I paid off a long time ago Wonder Boy, which unfortunately got delayed to December 4th, I think. It was supposed to come out in November.
Okay.
It's okay. It's a little close to Smash Brothers. I was hoping I'd be able to play through that before Smash comes out, but you know, I'll just get it, play it for a couple days, then obsess over Smash for a while, and then go back to Monster Boy, because Holy crap, I want that game. So I'm pretty well covered, right? I got FighterZ now, I've got Mega Man 11 I've got to finish, and then in December I get Wonder Boy, Katamari, and Smash.
Right.
So what to do in the meantime? Well, obviously there's Guacamelee, which I could pick up. There's the Cave Story, which I still need to refinish. Played a few more minutes of that this morning. But after I left Level Up, I got this email. And I always get an email from after I leave the store. And I just figure it's like my receipt or something. And I never really paid attention. I've actually been accruing points for quite some time now.
Really?
Yeah, so I have a $75 purchase that I could make.
Nice.
So I'm trying to determine what I want to do with said $75 purchase, and I've narrowed it down to two games. It's either, and again, it's if they can get it, because you know they're an independent store, and Switch games can be tough to come by, but...
So Spider-Man or God of...
No. It's not going to be either of those games. I don't want to jump in anything else PS4 until I can get through Horizon, or, I don't know. I want to play God of War before the end of the year, but I also don't know if I can. I just don't know if I can do it. I want to try, but regardless, I narrowed it down to these two choices. Starlink or Pokemon?
Pokemon.
Why?
You got kids.
I do. I feel like they would also get a kick out of Starlink.
Probably, but Pokemon.
True.
You got kids.
It's Pokemon. I got kids. So it's
Pokemon. It's a mainline Pokemon title on a real Nintendo. Not that the DS and the equivalent.
The home console. Not
been for real, but the home console. The connectivity that it's going to have with Pokemon Go is really cool, I think, or has the potential to be really cool anyway, and gives you another excuse to get outside with your family. And not that you don't do this, but, it's something like that my kids have been talking about of like, oh, we can go, there's a reason to go outside and catch more Pokemon, and like, oh, you can get me this one now so you can trade it to me and that sort of stuff, So that would be my argument.
So, yeah, that's a thought that I'd had because, I put up a poll on Facebook and a lot of folks were just like, dude, Pokemon, because it's Pokemon. But, so the thought process of Pokemon was that maybe John, my son, would want to play it.
Yeah.
Because it's super simplistic in the way that it works. Like, we can both play it together. He has a Joy-Con, I have a Joy-Con, and he can help me catch the Pokemon because he was kind of into Pokemon Go and... It looks adorable. I can't wait to hear the music. It looks like a good idea. On the other side, I'm a big proponent right now of supporting the games that I like to see happen. And right. I'm pretty excited about Starlink, just because it looks like a really cool take on Star Fox, especially with the Star Fox stuff involved.
Right.
I really like that cool Arwing toy that it comes with. I'm probably not going to use it in the game. I'll do all that stuff digitally, but just to have that cool model R-Wing looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
John does like Star Fox. He also likes R-Wings, and the fact that you can take the pieces off and switch them around and have it activated in the game seems like something that he might get a kick out of playing with me with.
Right.
Also, this is not... Pokemon's a sure thing. That game doesn't need my help. That game's going to sell, forever. Starlink, I feel like I could use all the sales he could get, and... It's a game that I'd like to be able to talk about. The other factor here is that, so I have $75 in this. It's not like a store credit. It's like $75 off my next purchase. The way the coupon works is that say I get Pokemon, which is $60.
Yeah.
I just lose that extra money.
Mm.
Starlink is $75.
Okay. Okay.
So
put them down.
You see what I mean? It really is a tough choice. Clearly Pokemon would be the smart choice if it was just I'm spending money on one of these games, but there's also the value proposition of me not losing out on a free dollars.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Trade in more stuff so that you have enough for both?
That's not a terrible idea, because I'm sure I could dig up more things.
I'm sure you could, and you're not that far away.
Yeah, I'm really not. All right, well, that's a thought. I don't even know if they can get Starlink. It's entirely possible they can't. So, anyways, news things that needed to be mentioned. In case anybody listening to the show has missed it, I don't even know which company. It's got to be Data East related. There's a crossover between Heavy Barrel and Burger Time called Heavy Burger, which looks like. I don't know, what does it look like? Like a Robotron-style shooter or something?
It looks like a twin-stick shooter where you go across various old school arcade games as Peter Pepper.
Just and other characters, right? Like...
No, it looked like various color palette swaps of Peter Pepper. Just destroying people.
And at first I'm looking at this like, well, this just seems this seems amazing. And then it just, as the trailer kept going, it just kept getting weirder, because you're not just, yeah, they do. They're like, I only looked at this on my phone. I'm just looking at it right now on my, you know, on my computer screen on YouTube. And it's like, yeah, it's like a twin stick shooter with various colored Peter Peppers with all sorts of guns. And yeah, you're going through all these Data East arcade games. Yeah. Like, they show running around inside of a Karate Champ level.
And a Bad Dudes level.
A Side Pocket? Like the freaking pool game? And there's like pool balls bouncing all over the place. There's a Burger Time level. I don't know what that one is. I see Bad Dudes, Side Pocket, Lock and Chase, Heavy Barrel. This is ridiculous.
It looks like complete and total madness. And I'm really excited about it.
Even the Heavy Burger featuring Peter Pepper, like,
yeah,
is so delightfully absurd.
It really, really is.
Really put a big smile on my face.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm
Heavy Burger, catch it.
Yeah, Puzzle and
I'm
Dragons.
Excited too. Puzzle and Dragons. There you go. Speaking of dragons, just real quick, I want to throw this out there.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard almost anybody talking about it, and it's kind of bugging me. One of my favorite shows of all time, animated or no, is Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Sure.
Absolutely love that show.
Sure.
You a fan?
Never watched it. Not for any good reason.
No, fair enough.
What I've seen of it, I've really liked. Never had time.
An amazing show. And then you had Legend of Korra, which was an excellent follow-up. You had a bunch of people involved from Avatar: The Last Airbender and Korra working on the new Voltron, which I absolutely love.
And then that live-action movie.
That live-action movie, which is from the actual creators of Avatar. Oh, you're talking about the live... Yeah. No, that live-action movie was a turd. There's a new live-action series coming from the original creators of Avatar. Sounds amazing.
I was just being a dick.
How very dare you bring that thing up? I tried watching that again recently. Yeah. I couldn't even get through it. It is so bad.
Bet you it's better than Ready Player One.
I bet you it isn't.
I don't know. It's not really a bet. I want to find out which of us is right on, though.
Seriously. Just watch Batman and Robin and claw our own eyes out.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So there's another show from another bunch of people that worked on Avatar called The Dragon Prince. It's on Netflix. It's really freaking good.
It's animated, right?
It's animated.
Okay.
I have one episode left. If you liked Avatar: The Last Airbender, watch The Dragon Prince. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
It's freaking great. There. So, bats.
Yeah, it's a good thing we took a half hour on that that opening segment, Chris, because I'm sure we're only going to be able to get like 7 hours out of video game bats.
Easily. Real quick, I just have to give a quick message to Jamie Hill. He wrote in, and I really didn't want to put this off another week, just because, you know, the clock is a ticking. He wrote in about WiiWare games, since he put a bunch of credit on there before they closed down the ability to do that. And he was wondering what Virtual Console and WiiWare games we would suggest getting before they close up shop for good. And I wrote up a bunch of stuff about this, and now I can't access it. So I'm going to have to put this off until next week. But I promise, Jamie, I will send you a list of cool stuff to get. But off the top of my head, Castlevania the Adventure Rebirth, Contra Rebirth on WiiWare in Virtual Console. Even though the music is all screwed up, I highly recommend Hebereki's, the original name was Euphoria, the Saga. Mm-hmm. It's an NES title. It's weird as heck, but it's like late NES Sunsoft, and it's super bizarre, super cool, and it's does a weird thing where it's playing the PAL version through an NTSC emulator, so the music is all screwed up. But the game itself is fantastic. Castlevania Rondo of Blood is available on Wii Virtual Console, and it is fantastic. So it's also probably the best way to play it until the PS4 one comes out, and even then, who the heck knows? Because the PS So angry. It's gonna be the PSP thing with the new voiceovers. Like, yeah. It's not gonna have die monster and all that. It's like, why? Bastards. Anyway, those are off the top of my head. Those are like, definitely pick up those ones, but I'm sure there's more, and I'll give you a more in-depth answer next week. The end.
Okay. So Chris.
Bats. Yeah.
Video game bats. Yep. Let me give you the topics that my wife broke these down into. Okay.
Okay.
Most obvious, deep cut, most effective use of bats, lamest use of bats, the sexiest bat, the best game with dubious bat involvement, the most recent saddest I'm not sure, the most irritating use of bats, the most you should already know about these bats, and finally the most I'm tired of this and don't want to do it anymore, bats in a video game. I'm very excited about all.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty involved. We also got some stuff about the bats on good answers. On our Facebook page, the Stone Age Gamer Facebook page, I put up a question, what are the best / worst video game bats? And we got a bunch of responses to that. So, I don't know. How do you want to play this game? You know, because I also have ones that I came up with just on the top of my head that I wanted to talk about. I didn't categorize them like you did.
Don't say me.
Well,
don't,
yeah,
put
like
this
like
evil
Tiff
on
did.
Me, Ricky Bobby.
Tell you what. Why don't we go ahead and do the first couple of your categories, take a break, come back, and as you mention things, I'll come in with my own information if you mention bats that are on mine or the Facebook pages list.
Okay. Number one, the most obvious bat in video games is Arrow the Acrobat. Game, yeah. It's a Sunsoft game, came out for the NES. He is like a circus bat?
Count for the Super NES. Super NES and Genesis.
Super NES and Genesis. He is a spoiled rich kid. I'm just going to read you what my wife either copied or wrote herself. A spoiled rich kid named Edgar Ector was a regular attendant at the World of Amusement Circus and Fun Park, but was banned after a failed prank that almost killed a lion. 20 years later, Edgar became a powerful and evil industrialist. Aided by Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel and his psycho circus gang, Edgar sabotages the fun park, kidnaps all the circus performers. Arrow the Acrobat is the circus's greatest star and only hope for rescuing the performers, including his girlfriend, wait for it, Ariel? She's an aerialist? And putting a stop to Edgar's evil schemes. Fun fact, this game is dope, according to my wife.
It's all right. First game was okay. I didn't love the second one.
Yeah, no. The first one, the platforming was fun. Some of the level designs were really cool, like with the different circus themes going on. And the character design was really good.
Like, yeah, character design was pretty decent.
I mean, he was a cool-looking character.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't know that I agree with you on that.
I don't know. I thought he was kind of cool.
I mean, this is also the birth of Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel.
Right, which is awesome. Is it? I don't
think it is. Good and racist. We had a whole thing.
Yeah,
on,
I mean...
At our panel, we did a whole thing about this. It was fun. Yeah, I don't know. Arrow the Acrobat is... he's just one of those, you know... mascot characters with Tood.
It's an obvious bat.
He is an obvious bat. That is true. There are worse games than Arrow the Acrobat. Worse characters than Arrow the Acrobat. But yeah, he's a bat.
That's good, true.
Good pick.
Right. So, deep cut. Bat. BAT, which is expanded into the Bureau of Astral Troubleshooters.
Futuristic
point-and-click adventure game with some role-playing video game elements, released in 89 on a bunch of different home computer things, published by Ubisoft. There was a sequel called Bat 2, The Koshan Conspiracy. But fun fact, this game does not feature any actual bats. But it is called Bat, so it counts.
Yeah, fits right in there. Well done.
The Bureau of Astral Troubleshooters. What does that say? Sounds like somebody really wanted our initials to spell out SHIELD. the most effective use of bats. The Arkham Trilogy.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
Lots and lots of bats in these games. Now, right, you did not finish the second and third one, right? Like, you didn't play third one.
I didn't play the third one. I didn't finish the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Good God. Damn. These were really good games. We've talked a lot about the Batman Arkham games and how great they are. For the most part, they are really, really great. The third one is a little bit too much focused on the Batmobile, as it were. But these are just damn good games. And some cool stuff with the bats in there, like especially in the first one in Asylum, there's a bunch of like underground rules and shit and some cool stuff. There's fun stuff with Man Bat. You draw a bunch of like foam bats before you blow them up. You have your Batarang. A lot of bats in there.
Well, you know, bats. Batman.
This is a ridiculous topic, Chris. All right.
You're welcome.
The lamest use of bats would be in Excitebot's Trick Racing. known in Japan as Excitemal Machine, it is a racing video game published by Nintendo for the Wii video game console.
And it's freaking awesome.
Is it?
The game's a blast.
Okay, I've never played it. Apparently, it was developed by Monster Games as the fourth game in the Excite series, and is the sequel to Excite Truck.
Which is also a pretty cool arcade-style racing game.
All right.
Excite Bots is even more ridiculous.
What's up with the bats in this game, Chris? Because I don't know anything about it.
I actually don't know anything about bats in that game either. You play as these transforming robot things, and
apparently... Sorry, as I asked you the question, my wife mimicked that a car is also a bat.
Oh,
She did a drive and then a flap. So I'm assuming must not that means one of the cars is a bat.
Well, yeah, they're all like some thing that you can, like weird animal type thing you can transform into. I guess I just didn't unlock the bat one yet. I had like the frog and I think there was a beetle or something. So it's like you run around this game and that there's these little power-ups you get that change the terrain. And like as you're going, these ridiculous things will show up. Like you're just racing, and then you'll see a giant soccer ball show up, and then a giant goal in the distance. And it's like, all right, so you're ramming to the soccer ball, and if you get a goal, then you get a huge like power up or something.
Okay,
it's so ridiculous. It's super fun. It's super stupid. And it does. It's one of those games that uses motion controls, you know, because it's driving. So it's hooray for that. Works just fine. There's these bars that are all over the game where like, so every character has some sort of like arm that comes out of the back of it that can hook onto these bars. And then you start shaking the Wii remote and your character will just keep spinning around this bar, picking up speed. And then you can let go and just launch yourself for miles.
It's exactly how driving works.
It is so completely ridiculous. It's a really fun game. And like four people bought it. It was not marketed well at all, but it was a really cool hidden gem from the Wii. Totally recommend it.
That does sound pretty cool. All right, the sexiest bat, I think, is probably the most obvious.
Is it Rouge bat. The Bat?
Rogue or Rouge the Bat?
Rouge the Bat.
Yep, she Barf. Is a white anthropomorphic bat from Sonic Adventure 2. She is a professional treasure hunter, Chris.
And she is grotesque.
She is so hot. Is she? I don't know.
Have you not seen pictures of Rouge the Bat?
I'm about to look it back up. I know I have seen it, but it was like, oh, there's a thing in a Sonic game that looks weird. Don't care. Moving on. Right? Like,
Sonic yeah, there's a lot of
not my jam.
There's some disturbing anatomy going on here. And there's definitely some definitely corners of the internet that are really into this character.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I should put on my child filter before I search for this character.
I mean, I just searched the character and I haven't found anything too naughty, but I mean,
there's definitely some naughty stuff on here. I don't know. It's not a terrible character design. I mean, it doesn't look very bat-like.
Yeah, it looks like... I mean, I think it's the boobs that put me off.
Well...
Because she's supposed to be a bat.
Nope, I found a naughty one.
That didn't take long.
No, that was... What is even happening there? I think that's Eggman? Oh, that's disturbing. Can't unsee that. I'm going to keep going. See what else happens.
Yeah, I don't like this character. I didn't love Sonic Adventure 2.
Right.
And there's just something innately disturbing to me about, like, here, we're going to make this sexy animal character who is a bat with human boobs.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That's gross. That's gross. You're gross. Stop it. Stop being gross.
Stop being gross. I mean, they are quite large for a video, not for a video game character, but for an anthropomorphized,
bat. For a all right. Bat. All right, that's enough talking about bat boobs. Next.
Yeah. All right, so the best game, which also happens to have dubious bat involvement, would be the original DuckTales.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Tiff's the Mount Vesuvius level that has the bats that are falling from the ceiling. They fall down and then fly around.
Mount Tiff's, Vesuvius.
Her fun fact for this one
is DuckTales
2? Fuck these bats.
DuckTales 2 Mount Vesuvius?
I don't know. Maybe it is DuckTales 2.
DuckTales Remastered had Mount Vesuvius in it.
Yeah.
I don't think Mount Vesuvius was in the original NES DuckTales. I don't think so. I don't remember that part being in there. But yes, I know what you're talking about. The Mount Vesuvius level.
Yeah. Fuck those bats.
Yeah. Right in the bat hole.
Ew.
Ah. Sorry.
Are you watching a video now?
I'm looking for it.
Okay.
Mount Vesuvius. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Good times. Great old.
DuckTales Remastered was so freaking good.
It really was.
That chase sequence at the end is like, oh man, I should do that again.
I'm so sad they haven't given the same treatment to DuckTales 2.
Yeah. They never will.
No, I know they won't, but, or like.
They should have. I can't imagine why they didn't.
I know.
This game was a huge hit. They already had most of the artwork drawn for the characters. Yeah. Like,
just go do it.
And yeah.
Then do it for Tailspin and for Rescue Rangers.
And instead they did the Disney Afternoon Collection.
Yeah.
Didn't release it on Switch.
Which is cool, but...
It is. It is super cool, but this was really cool. And especially now, like, they have that new DuckTales cartoon, which is really good.
Yeah, it's so good.
I mean, I love the fact that this is all done like the original DuckTales and even got the voice actors back for it, but they can't do that anymore. So if they were to do something like, you know, DuckTales 2, or I guess they can't really undo this. Just make a new DuckTales game, darn it.
There you go. Or a brand new DuckTales game.
Yeah, make a brand new DuckTales game.
Okay, so this next one is a... wow, this is something. This is on Steam, so that means Dean has played it. It's called MacBat 64. It is a purposefully... low poly 3D platformer, and from their own webpage it says MacBat 64 is a low poly 3D platformer and 4:3 love letter to the late 90s. It does have very positive reviews on Steam, but fun fact about this game, it doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, which means the 59 people that left reviews are 47 people that work for the company and their parents. But not even all of their parents.
MacBat 64. Wow.
I don't know. MacBat 64. If any of you guys have played it, this looks ridiculous.
Let's see. It's got 115 likes on YouTube.
It just
looks like an N64 game.
The subtitle of the game is Journey of a Nice Chap.
British enough for you?
Fun fact, this game has the greatest subtitle of all time.
So I don't know. It's no person of lordly caliber, but it'll do.
Well, yeah. this is one that might hit close to home for you, Chris.
Right after this one, we'll take our break.
Well, I only have two more after this one. All right.
All right, go ahead.
The most irritating bats of all time. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
I can't agree with that.
No? Okay.
Not even close. I mean,
all right.
They're on my list of bats to talk about. I mean, not even specifically Ocarina of Time. Although the flaming keys from Ocarina of Time are pretty up there.
That's the fun fact for this one. The bats are on fire.
Yeah, those guys are assholes. But, you know, Keese, which is a strange name for bats, because they're just bats. I don't know why they named them Keese. Whatever. There's nothing special about them. But they're all over the place in the Zelda games.
They are very annoying.
They are. Like, in Zelda 2, they were, especially the ones that would, like, transform into the giant ones, the red guys that would come down, and then they'd land, and they'd be like, I'm a giant bat monster, I'm going to barf a fireball, and then turn back into a tiny bat and float away.
Yeah.
Those guys were fun. But No, go ahead.
The write-up for this one. They are most often found in caves and dungeons, but they can sometimes be found in the overworld as well. These things are in pretty much every Zelda game, but fuck the ones in Ocarina in particular. They move faster than you're targeting, and they're on fire, which means when they dive bomb you, you are on fire. More so than DuckTales, fuck these bats.
Yeah, you can lose your wooden shield.
Yeah.
So if you have a wood shield, it bursts into flames. Hooray!
Yeah, fuck these bats.
That can actually, I'll take that a step further, because if you want to talk about the most annoying keys in Zelda, I would say that Breath of the Wild takes it, because there's not only fire bats in that one, but there's also ice bats that will just sneak up on you and freeze you and then float away.
That's bullshit.
And electric bats.
That's bullshit.
So if you've got your sword out and you're just like, I'm going to swing my sword at this electric bat. No, you're not, because you're getting electrocuted.
You are not.
Ooh. Yeah, screw bats in Zelda.
All right, last two, Chris. You ready?
I'm ready.
You should already know about these bats. Mega Man. Lots of bats in Mega Man. All over the place.
Yes. Well, the ones that I had pulled up specifically to talk about were the Batontons from Mega Man 2. The big round ball guys.
Yep.
I don't know what their official name is in the games, but I know in the old cartoon, Dr. Wily called them Batontons.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in Mega Man 11, too, and they look great.
Do they?
Yeah, they're awesome.
That's awesome.
But yeah, those guys, those guys are bad news.
I hate them.
I like them.
They were annoying. There were just some parts of the game where, like we've talked about before, I tried to do, you know, like, get really good at, like, speedrunning certain Mega Man games, and, like, they could really fuck up your shit, and they were really annoying.
What annoyed me the most about them is, like, you'd be in Woodman stage, and I just wanted to kill them, and they just sit there in their shell. Like, come on out.
Man.
I'm just standing here doing nothing. I could move on to the next screen. They're not even a danger, but I wanted a power up or something. You know, I just wanted a little bit of health, maybe some weapon energy back. So I'm chucking my metal blades and just like bouncing off of them and sits there. And then finally you give up and like, all right, fine. I'm leaving. As soon as you get to the ladder, they bust open and start flying towards you. Bunch of pricks. Every last one of them.
Last one. A lot of bats in Castlevania.
Yes, there are.
All types of bats. So we can, I'm sure you have a couple that you want to mention specifically.
Yeah, I'll get to a few more of those when we come back from our break. But if we're just talking original Castlevania, actually we did get one of our responses on Facebook from Jamie Hill, said that Castlevania is by far number one.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't agree that those would be the most annoying bats, but Castlevania 1 had some pretty annoying bats, because they had like this, they were just a small enough hitbox to be really annoying in the way that they flew. And then of course there was that bat boss, the first level boss, which was like pretty easy. And then like right towards the end of the game, he just starts showing up like a regular enemy. And there's like, oh cool, there's two of them now. That's great. That's great. Go to hell.
That's awesome. I did leave off. Well, Tiff left off, but I didn't add it. The most frustrating bats, which is what you have, I am sure, is what you are going to say is the most frustrating bat ever. So we'll talk about those last.
Yeah, we'll jump into that after the break. I just wanted to see if anybody else had wrote Castlevania. Henry Veard, best bats, either Castlevania or Mega Man. Worst, well, probably what we're going to talk about next. Yep. So we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk even more bats, because we're going to beat this dead horse for all we got.
That's right.
You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Please stick around. And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, Chris.
Bats?
Tons of bats, obviously. We're not even going to talk about the bats in Ninja Baseball Batman, which we should. We didn't even go that route with it, but that's fine. On top of bat coverage this month, we do have a lot of horror movie coverage, obviously, on the site this month for 31 Days of Halloween. In fact, Chris, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm writing about horror movies every single day.
You sure are.
I really am. But you know what's crazier than writing about horror movies every single day in October?
What's that, Dan?
Watching a horror movie every day in October.
Why, that is quite the time commitment.
And that is what Geekade's newest writer, Brenda, is doing. Each week, she's writing up a review of what she watched and whether or not it should land on your Halloween watch list. Don't miss 31 Days of Horror, Week 1, located in the Think.
That was a pretty interesting piece, too.
It was good. I really liked it.
That last movie that she mentioned, I had never even heard of before.
Which one was it? Which was the last one she mentioned?
No, that's your article. God, there's so much horror stuff on our website right now. Here, it's 31 Days of Horror. The Other?
Yes.
1972.
Yeah.
That sounded like a neat movie.
Yeah.
And yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'd heard of all the rest of the ones that she'd mentioned. Including, you know, like A Quiet Place. I'll never watch that.
No.
No, I don't ever want to see that. I don't like you jump scares, and that whole movie just seems like a nightmare to me. Sounds like actual torture, so it gets a big fat no thank you.
Yeah.
Next, Doctor Who has finally returned, and my wife has decided to once again provide recaps for each new episode this season. How was Jodie Whittaker's premiere episode? Are the new companions worth their weight? How gross is a monster who covers his face with human teeth? Did BBC America cram more commercials into the episode than should be legally allowed? Find out the answers to all this and more every week in Time and Relative Dimension in Spoilers, every Tuesday on Geekade.
Finally, Chris, you and Matt over at the Waveback podcast, you got in on the 31 Days of Halloween action with an episode all about music from Castlevania II's Diamond's Quest.
Sure did.
Instead of just listening to the game's tunes, though, you did a song-by-song comparison between the U.S. version and the original Famicom Disk System release. Nobody's ever done that in history.
Ever.
It's the first time that
I'm sure we are the pioneers.
I am sure of it. People are telling me. Which version has the better spooky music? Find out in Waveback Episode 65, Castlevania II, Simone's Quest. Simone, right?
Yes. Well, no, the character's name is Simon Quest. Worlds of Power.
That's right, baby.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com.
Certainly can.
And we're back! We're back to talk more bats with you. So now that Dan has run through Tiff's list of bats, let's talk about a little bit more, talk about a few specifics. And the specifics that I specifically want to talk about is the most annoying bats in the world, to me, in all of video gamedom, were the bats in Ninja Gaiden.
The kill you instantly bats? Oh, you thought you were going to make that jump, haha, fuck you bats?
Yeah. So strategically placed, especially on stages with black backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we're talking like back in the day when you're playing with like out of focus CRTs and you can't really see them too well. You make this giant blind jump and all of a sudden little bat comes swinging by like into the pit with you.
Oh,
those bats. Oh, those bats. Those constant respawning bats.
Yeah, and they would never go away. You couldn't do the old video game trick of like walking off the screen a little bit and then they were gone. Nope.
No, they're always there. I remember a spot. There's like a spot in that game. It wasn't the bats, though. What was it? Maybe it was bats. there's a spot in the game where you can just have something constantly spawning over and over again. It'll just make a nonstop loop. As soon as you kill one, another one immediately shows up. It's bats and Ninja Gaiden. And I love Ninja Gaiden.
I do too, but those are awful.
Yeah. Those just bats awful. Are bastards. Those are cheap, dirty, nasty, awful pieces bastard of garbage.
Bat. That's right.
As according to Facebook user Adrian Lee Hank, let's go with Hank. Mm-hmm. Bats in Ninja Gaiden on NES can get the fuck out. You are correct, Adrian. Those bats can get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next on the list, I will mention the swoops from Super Mario World.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about them.
Those are interesting bat creatures because they're not super annoying. They have a cool bat pattern, you know? They just sit up there on the ceiling, and when you get close to them, they swoop down and then straight, like, horizontal to go straight away. They don't move super fast. You can jump on their heads. They're neat, which is not something I can say about a lot of bat characters in video games. Most of the time, they're just annoying. These guys are like, all right, that's pretty cool. And Jamie Hill concurs. Says that
totally
Mario
forgot
World
about them.
Mario World is a close second for me. I agree, Jamie. And of course, you forgot about him. You hate Mario World.
That's right.
Bastard. You heartless man.
Heartless prick am I.
I like swoops. They're cool. They're green. Orange wings. It's kind of neat coloration for bats. There's a fun little segue there. I didn't write this one down, but there's also the bats in Yoshi's Island.
Okay.
Those are adorable. They just got these. There's just these little black balls with giant googly eyes. And really well animated wings. What's always confused me about them is they always have this like set of white dotted line behind them. It's like just a bunch of dots that follow them around.
Mm.
I don't know what that's supposed to be.
They're bats with Lyme disease.
Fair enough.
From what I understand, that's
how that works. You get Lyme's disease everywhere you go. A trail of white dots follows you.
From what I understand,
you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
People are telling me.
People are telling you. You have the best people.
I do.
I'm sure this character has a name, but I don't know what it is. But there was that bat boss in Wizards and Warriors.
Carl.
Carl. Yeah, Carl. So the original Wizards and Warriors, great game. Love that game. As long as you had the potion of levitation, this boss was hilarious because you start running through this cave and there's just a series of endless bats on the ceiling and they just start. Yeah. Chasing you, and you just keep running down the hallway and fighting these bats. You get to the end of the hallway, and then all the bats just start swarming you. And if you have the potion of levitation, whenever your feet are off the ground, your lance is doing damage. So you have that and the dagger or the axe, and you just float there, and all the bats just start coming at you, and you pound on the button, you kill every single one of them in like quick succession. It's like really awesome. And then, of course, the giant bat shows up, and he just flies around, and he's pretty easy to kill.
Yeah, Carl sucks.
Yeah, and he's pink.
He's real bad at being a bat.
He's a big pink bat, which I kind of feel like being big and pink is not a good look for a bat.
No.
Because, you know, they're all about not being in the light.
Right.
And I feel like that would just kind of attract all kinds of... This is a bad look for a bat. Bats, don't be pink. It is indeed a bad look for a bat.
Bad bat.
All right. This next asshole. This is probably the biggest asshole bat. Because, all right, the bats in Ninja Gaiden are just horrible. You just want to kill all of them. There is a boss in Castlevania Dracula X, and I don't remember if this boss is also in Rondo of Blood, though I bet dollars to donuts. You know, he definitely is. But sure. I don't remember if he reacts the same way when you kill him. So there's this giant bat. You hit him, and then he like transforms into a trail of like a bunch of tiny bats. And then he turns back into a giant bat, and you hit him again. He's kind of a pain in the ass of a boss when you first time you get to him, because he's a little bit on the difficult side, because you can get yourself trapped in a corner where you're just like taking damage over and over again because the bats just keep swarming you.
Right.
When you beat the boss, it's like, oh, yay! I finally beat the boss. And then he explodes and a bunch of bats just shoot all over the screen that you then have to dodge, because if you don't, they will freaking kill you after you've killed the boss. Yep. The death throw. Ah! first time I beat that boss, freaking out of nowhere, blows up and kills me. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me with this crap? Ah, the death throw. It makes all the sense. Like, of course the bosses in Castlevania would want to kill you no matter what the cost. But
yeah,
that boss made me so freaking mad. Hate that bat.
Super frustrating.
Super gorgeous though. Like, really well drawn.
Yeah.
Speaking of boss bats,
real good looking bat. That was almost a rouge.
Yeah. Name is. Really. The heart boots and everything. What is that thing called? I have to find this. This is going to drive me crazy. So there's a boss in the messenger. And I can't believe I didn't write this one down. There's a boss in the messenger that you have to fight between two different time periods. Mm-hmm. And in one time period, I think it's in the past, it's a possessed giant, like really cool looking moth.
Okay.
And then, why are you doing this to me? The messenger. What is the name of that thing? And then in the future, it's just this hideous bat monster. And I can't remember. I might be in the wrong direction here. It might be the other way around. Let's see. I'm looking at the past. I'm doing this from looking at my soundtrack. There's a really, really cool. Yeah, that's right. In the past, it's the bat matriarch. And then in the future, it is the... Where'd you go? Can't find the future one. The butterfly matriarch. There you go. Mm-hmm. And so you have to fight this character in both the past and the future at the same time. So like, it'll do these things where you have to like, you switch back into the past and then you're fighting it. And then you switch back to the future and you fight this other form. And it's That's very cool. It was an awesome boss. I have nothing but good things to say about the messenger. I love that game, but that was a great bat. It was a big, nasty looking bat too. Really gross. Let's see what else got. Let's switch back over to our Facebook page here and look back at the.
How much longer can we milk this?
There's a couple more to get to, couple more that are worth the time. Let's see. Luke Dreckman, bats from Mega Man X get smacked by them and they return to the ceiling just to come after you again.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Those little bastards were. Screw those guys. But Wily couldn't even like go through the trouble of like finishing them off to make them look super cool. You know, everything looks like, well, this is just finished. No, not Wily. I guess this is Mega Man X, but still
Sigma,
whoever created these bat robots. And really think about that. Why, why is that a thing? Yeah, those little bastards, those guys got in the way. They're all mechanical looking. I guess they're kind of cool, but screw them. Tim Wolf, best bats, Quackshot. Worst, SMW, I'm assuming is Super Mario World.
I would guess so. I don't know that I've ever played Quackshot.
I have played Quackshot, but I don't remember the bats in it. But I'm going to take your word for it, Tim Wolf. I liked Quackshot way back when. I should play that game again. It was a fun game. Run around as Donald Duck with a toilet plunger gun. It was neat. Bobby Mayberry, this is actually a really good one that I can't believe I didn't mention. A haunted house for Atari 2600. I'm assuming he means Atari 2600. I don't know any other haunted house games that are just called haunted house, but oh man, the bat in that one was just like, there was a bat, a spider and a ghost. And boy, when those things just got near you, it was like, gotta run. And the bat was basically just like the letter U that just kept flipping up and down super fast. Cause we're talking about the Atari here. Yeah, we made this cool noise whenever you got close to it. It was like this really kind of crunchy noise whenever it got close to you. And Haunted House is such a great Atari game. That was a good one. I have not played this one, but Hugo Morales says Spelunky for me. Mm. I have not played Spelunky, but I've played it,
but I don't remember the bat.
The bats didn't leave a huge impression on you?
They did not.
I will say that I guess what I believe was an inspiration for Spelunker. I do remember the bats in that game. In the original NES one, there were the bats that would just sit up top and I guess just shit all over you. I don't know what else that could possibly be.
Yeah.
They're just like hovering back and forth, dropping these little yellow dots down, and you got to like zoom right through the little, breaks in the endless mountains of shit that the bats are dropping on your head. And they're also in the new Spelunker for Switch. Spelunker Party, is it called? I don't know. It's really good.
Cool.
Really, really long game. Like, I bought that game as soon as it came out, like right, pretty much right after the Switch came out, like pretty early. I am nowhere near finished that game. I finished like the first world, which had like 450 levels in it or something. There's a lot of content in that freaking game. But awesome. Yeah, there you go. Cave Bats. All right, let's finish this off. What do we got left here? I mentioned the bats from Mega Man X, from Luke Dreckman. So really the only thing left is what many people consider to be the worst bats, the battiest bats of them all, and that's the Zubats from Pokemon.
Fucking
Devin Brobst.
It's like you're getting
Zubats.
All excited. You know, it's like, oh, sweet, I'm gonna catch a fucking thing. No, there's Zubat.
They're everywhere. Those things annoyed the shit out of me.
Constant.
So we've got Devin Brobst said Zubats at Mount Moon, Red and Blue, and Christian Marte. Sure, I'm terrible at this. Zubat in first gen Pokemon, and I completely agree. When I was playing through first gen Pokemon for the first time a couple of years ago, God, when I got to that cave and there were just every few feet another Zubat, and they just they that sucked your life out of you, and oh my God, they were so obnoxious. And before I really figured out how to fight them, it just took me forever every time I faced off against one of those bastards.
Yeah,
Zubats. Zubats. And then I caught one and tried to train him, and like, I'm gonna make this Zubat into like the ultimate Zubat, and it just was worthless.
Gonna turn you into Golbat.
Yeah, it was worthless. I gave up on him. Gave up on that stupid Zubat. Screw Zubats. Screw Zubats for life. Zubats are awful. Zubats can burn in hell. Well, we did it, Dan. We filled an entire episode with bats.
1 hour. And 8 minutes of recording time so far about bats.
At least a sizable chunk has been about bats.
It
How do you
really
feel, Dan? You feel, I'm proud of us.
I'm not. I feel dirty.
Well, as long as Dan doesn't argue, well, I think we should go with your original plan for next week and talk.
No,
video
I like
game.
Next week.
All right, good.
Next week I'm into.
All right. Well, then that is our show. Join us next week when we continue our contributions to Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween with video game zombies.
Yes.
Our mummy zombies.
Yes.
What about the red skeletons in Castlevania keep rebuilding themselves? They seem pretty undead to me.
Well,
I would say
undead is not... Well, okay, we'll argue next
week. We'll argue next week. We'll decide next week right here on the Stone Age Gamer podcast, so you don't have to. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade KRIS. And Dan, where can people find you?
At Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. We'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for even more fresh, original content. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.
Keep playing bats.
Bats. Zubats. Keep playing Zubats.
Zubats.